Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit put on today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you an incredible expert, someone that will make you giggle and make you go wow the whole time, Miss Minette Riordan. Go for it, Minette.
Well, first I might actually make them cry a little bit, Tanya, with some statistics I'm going to share here in a minute, but hopefully we'll end up with some laughs along the way. So thank you for inviting me. So good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you are. I'm in beautiful Santa Barbara, California. It's an absolutely stunning, sunny day here, and I just still can't get over the fact that I live in paradise. It makes me wake up happy pretty much every day. And it was a long journey getting here. So I'm Dr. Minette Riordan, and I work specifically with creative entrepreneurs. And a creative entrepreneur is someone who tends to be a visual learner. It's more about how you think. You tend to consider yourself really a right brain thinker. It's not really about the work that you do. You can be a creative entrepreneur in any industry. But I find that creative entrepreneurs in particular struggle with certain aspects of business, of building a business. And I'm going to share three of the biggest mistakes today that I think that creative entrepreneurs make that really stops them from busting through some of those big income ceilings that a lot of us really would love to be busting through, to six figures, seven figures, maybe even your first $50,000 would be an awesome breakthrough for this year. But it's interesting, and I do tend to work primarily with women, although I love working with men as well. And so I'm going to share some statistics here about women business owners, and I think it's a really powerful place to start and an incredible reminder for entrepreneurs, especially those of us who are really successful, to be able to shout from the rooftops. There's over 10 million women-owned businesses in the United States alone. I have lots of friends who own businesses in other parts of the world. So I know that women-owned businesses, you know, there's staggering numbers of us all over the world. But out of those 10 million women-owned businesses, only 6%, a tiny fraction, ever reached the six-figure mark in their business. It's really kind of sad that only 6% reach the six-figure mark. In fact, over 50% of those women never exceed $25,000 a year in revenue. Now, if it's your goal to create supplemental income for your family and $25,000 sounds great, awesome. This is not about judging anybody for the income that they want to achieve or the breakthrough that they want to have. But when we think about how many of us out there really do want to create freedom and financial independence and have a flexible lifestyle business that supports all of who we are, these statistics do tend to be a little bit dampening to the spirit. And even sadder, out of those 10 million women-owned businesses, only 2% ever reached the seven-figure mark. I haven't reached the seven-figure mark yet, but I am on my way, and I want to be part of that 2%. Not only that, I am super committed to helping women turn these statistics upside down. But first, I want to share a little bit about my story and my background and why I am so incredibly passionate about helping turn some of these numbers down and why I know what these massive mistakes are that creative entrepreneurs make. So for 11 years, I owned a multimedia publishing company in the Dallas, Texas area. That's actually how I met Tanya quite a few years ago. It always blows me away to think about how long that we've known each other now, and still one of my most favorite people to work with in the whole world. And when I met Tanya, I was publishing a parenting magazine. We hosted these huge family expos with hundreds of vendors and thousands of attendees. Our magazine grew. When I first started it, I was only publishing it quarterly, and I was publishing 20,000 copies a quarter. So that wasn't a lot per month. But as the magazine started to grow and take on a life of its own, we eventually grew that from 20,000 a quarter to where we were printing 50,000 copies of our magazine every month and had a wide distribution through hundreds of locations around the entire Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. And I wouldn't say that made me happy. I wouldn't say that it was easy to get to that point. And I certainly wouldn't say that I personally was making lots of money. My business was growing really fast. We hit the six-figure mark pretty quickly. In our best year, I think we grossed over $350,000 in sales. But I made some really big mistakes. And one of the mistakes I made was that I started without any end in mind. I didn't have a business plan. I just kept kind of following the business where it took me. And I really failed pretty darn miserably at understanding how to turn a profit in my business, a profit meaning that I was actually paying myself. Here I was grossing lots of money, but my cash flow sucked. And I really paid myself pretty little money for as hard as I was working. It was not the reason that I got into business at all. In fact, one time we were hosting a staff retreat, and we had hired a coach to come in and work with us to help us just get some refreshed and renewed vision for our business. And my office manager at the time said something that's really just stuck with me over the years. She said, "It's as if we're digging this ditch without any destination in mind. We just keep digging and digging, and every once in a while we poke our heads up to kind of see where we are and to sort of maybe take a little bit of stock, and we might shift directions a little bit, but then we just go back to digging and digging." So I made this big mistake that thinking a business plan wasn't really necessary in my business. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about why not having a plan is one of the massive mistakes that I see small business owners make a lot of times. And the challenge with me was realizing that, you know, so at the time when I started my magazine, my kids were itty bitty. They were 3 and 1. You know, my kids grew up with the magazine. They would, they used to crack me up. I'd go to the expos. And we had lots of vendors that I'd never met in person, you know, face-to-face. And I'd go up to introduce myself. "Hi, I'm Annette. I'm the host of the show." "Oh, yeah, we met your son," or "we met your daughter." So there were all these kind of fringe benefits that came out of building this big business. Lots of great exposure, lots of recognition. I won a lot of awards. And like I said, I grossed a lot of money. And at one point just got to the point where I was really tired, felt really disconnected from my husband. We were not on the same page about where we were going, or maybe we were on the same page, we just weren't going in the right direction. Our kids were getting a little bit older. And so we really spent some time looking around. We hired a personal coach to work with us as a couple to decide what is it that we wanted to do. And how do we need to turn our lives around and turn this business around? It was at a point where the economy was really tanking in that area at the time. 30% of my clients were out of business, had a huge impact on our gross income, you know, and we had to take a hard look and say, what are we doing and are we still enjoying this? And to make a long story short, we decided to ultimately convert the print magazine to a digital magazine, and then we sold the online version of that. It's still going strong, NorthTexasKids.com, owned by the amazing Liz Mangelsdorf, and still doing really well in Dallas. And we decided to relocate our family from the Dallas, Texas area to Santa Barbara, California. And so it was a lot of transition over a couple of years for the entire family, and I found myself spending a lot of time reflecting back on what I had done well and what I had not done well. And I actually had a lot of shame around the financial piece. I'm like, I'm a smart woman. Why can I not figure this out? And that led me to this concept of these massive mistakes that I made that I want to share with you today so that hopefully you can avoid making these same mistakes. And I'll share a few tips for how to avoid them yourself. And the number one secret to growing a 6 or 7 figure is to have a plan in place. And I find that creative entrepreneurs in particular really tend to struggle with planning. Planning is linear, it's detailed, it's structured. It really does not feel like a lot of fun at all. I personally thought, I don't need a business plan. And what I learned was that one of the biggest mistakes I made was not having a direction, not having a destination. You know, it's like the analogy, if I were going to drive from Santa Barbara, California to Washington, D.C., I need a roadmap to get me from here to there to the other side of the country. You know, it's easy to sort of blindly think, oh, well, I can just get in the car and head east and I'll get there. Well, the highways don't work that way. They're really pretty roundabout. There's a lot of road bumps. There's a lot of detours. There's some really cool things to see between here and there where I might want to spend a little extra time. And a business plan needs to have that same visual creative aspect of understanding where you're going with the understanding there's going to be some road bumps and detours along the way. So I just actually published a book a couple of weeks ago called The Artful Marketer. It's available on Amazon.com in Kindle format right now. The print edition is coming in a couple of weeks as well. And one of the things I talk about in the book is how to create a one-page visual business plan. What I have discovered with creative entrepreneurs is that we need to create a plan that works with our crazy, right-brained, visual, color-loving minds and not a traditional format. If you are in a business where you're looking to get investors, to find venture capital, angel funding, or even a bank loan, you might need to create a really traditional business plan with all the graphs and the charts and the details and the numbers, and I highly encourage hiring somebody to help you with that process rather than trying to do it by yourself. But for most small business owners, we need a simple roadmap. And if you're a really visual person, having a roadmap that you can hang on the wall and look at every single day will make a huge difference. So I've actually come up with a process for making this simple, creative, fun, and super effective. In fact, mine is hanging on the wall beside me as I speak, and I can see everything that I need to do every day to move my business forward. Another area that I find creative entrepreneurs really struggle with, and it's both a gift and a curse, is with, I heard this at a conference I was at on Sunday, somebody called it BYOS, Bright Shiny Object Syndrome. And so many entrepreneurs really struggle with chasing bright shiny objects. And that object might be, oh, a new online training or a new marketing avenue or the latest, hottest new trends in social media. And the problem is that we go down these rabbit holes and we get distracted from the things that are going to actually move us forward to our goal. And when you have a visual plan that you look at every single day, it makes it so much simpler to pull yourself out of that rabbit hole and look and go, okay, back to the plan. What do I need today to do today to move this plan forward? So it's crucially important to have a simple plan in place. It doesn't have to be exhaustive or extensive or packed with details and information. It can be simple, but it will help you as the year goes by to stay on track and not get distracted. So again, the number one massive mistake that creative entrepreneurs make is not having a plan in place. The second mistake that I see so many creative entrepreneurs, and I would say entrepreneurs in general making, especially if you are in a service-based industry, is they really tend to underprice their products and services. They undervalue themselves. They look maybe at the community they live in. They look at what other people are charging, or maybe they're brand new in business and so they don't have a lot of coaching experience or healing experience or whatever the industry is that you're working in currently. And so they tend to give it away for free or almost for free. They don't understand all the different things that go into pricing and packaging their services. So they're making pennies on the dollar. I'll give you a quick example of a client I worked with last year who was a vocal coach, who thought she was making between $75 and $100 an hour with her clients. And she was selling them packages and, you know, she was doing some of the right things and she was, you know, grossing some money every month and, you know, making a little bit of profit. But when we sat down and actually did the math of what she thought she was making per hour versus what she was actually making per hour based on the amount of time that she was giving her clients because she was over-delivering and over going over time constantly, she realized that she was only making about $25 an hour. And you can imagine this was pretty shocking. So we raised her rates, made a few small tweaks in her packaging of her services. We looked at the number of lessons that she was having with her clients, and we extended the number of lessons that we wanted people to commit to because it was in the client's best interest to stay with her longer to reach the goals that they had. And some people were looking at being better speakers or gaining confidence in public speaking, but she had lots of young adults and adults as well that wanted to learn how to sing, that wanted to be rock stars. She's one of those coaches that gets people on The Voice and American Idol, and they win a lot of the local contests here in Santa Barbara where we live. She's pretty amazing. But she wasn't making any money, and she's been doing this a long time. So we were able to make a few small tweaks in her pricing and packaging that allowed her to really stand in her value, feel like she was offering fair pricing, and get paid what she's worth. So I would invite you to just take a look at how much money you're making as opposed to how much time you're actually spending. I see a lot of really creative entrepreneurs in the service industry feel like they have this gift to share and that they want to be of service. And I'm a big fan of that. I want to be of service. I pride myself on delivering really high value to my coaching clients. But at the same time, I have really strong boundaries around time. When I first started, I didn't. You know, somebody would contract with me and I'd say, okay, you get an hour coaching session once a week. Well, inevitably those sessions would go to an hour and a half. Well, I didn't make them pay for that extra half an hour, right? Massage therapists do this a lot of times as well. You know, they always go over on time and then they don't ask for the money. And it's not the client's problem that I'm going over in time or the massage therapist is going over time. It's my time, my responsibility to be strict and have solid boundaries around time and not feel like I have to give everything away in one session. So again, number one mistake, not having a plan. And second mistake, not understanding how to price and package your services is a huge mistake that I see a lot of creative entrepreneurs make, whether you're selling widgets, whether you're selling art, whether you're selling books, or whether you're selling home study products online, or you're selling coaching or other sort of hourly contracted services. It's really important to understand exactly what it is that you are making. It's crucially important to make sure that you're creating a profitable business, is to understand some of those key numbers that have a big impact on the distinction between whether you are, you know, building a business that covers your bills or whether you're really building a profitable business so that you can finally create some of that financial freedom that you wanted when you became an entrepreneur in the first place. You know, I don't know that any of us really dove into being entrepreneurs because we wanted to be broke or we wanted to be struggling and we wanted to be working harder than we ever were in a job. And I see this happening over and over again. And creative entrepreneurs, because we're so creative and our brains are going a million different directions all the time, it can be really hard to focus on what's going to work and be most effective when it comes to building our business. I'm a huge fan of coaching. You already heard me mention, you know, several different times that I've hired coaches. I'm a big fan of always having a coach to help you get to the next level in your life or your business, no matter what it is that you're working on. You do not have to be on this journey alone. One of the biggest and hardest lessons I think I learned that, especially with a publishing company, even though I had this, you know, big company, I had a staff of, you know, 8 salespeople and an office manager, and it was still only me at the top. And that kind of isolation where nobody really gets it, nobody really works as hard as you do, can be really, really difficult for entrepreneurs. So it's really important to reach out and either create your own community, form a mastermind is a great idea for entrepreneurs, or reach out and find a coaching program or a one-on-one coaching, you know, somewhere that can help you with your business. And I certainly put my hand up to, you know, for that category and can help you with that as well. So the third massive mistake that I see entrepreneurs, especially creative entrepreneurs, make, and this was one of the biggest personal mistakes that I made, was that they're really numb to their numbers. They don't have any real sense of their relationship with money. They don't understand the cost of doing business. They don't understand how much they're spending, how much is going in, how much is going out, and they really don't want to know. They really don't want to pay attention. They don't want to look at the finances. You know, it's pretty scary sometimes to sit down at the end of the month and wonder, oh, do I have enough money to pay my bills? I remember being in a situation where all of a sudden, you know, my cash flow was in just huge crisis and I didn't have enough cash on hand to pay my staff. And that was always one of my highest priorities. Everybody always got paid before I did. I was willing to put off my vendors for a little while. And it's, you know, cash flow is a really tricky thing when you have a business. I could see all the cash sitting there in the receivables, and we were working hard to collect on those receivables. So I knew the money was coming, but in that moment, that gut feeling of not having enough cash to pay my staff was a really painful place to be. And I realized at that moment that I needed to be on top of my numbers in a completely different way, because I didn't like that feeling of being strapped and not having a plan in place for how to improve my cash flow. And so I learned a lot of lessons the hard way during the years that I had the publishing company. And it really inspired me once I started my coaching practice. And I've had my coaching business for almost 2 years now. And it really inspired me to do things really differently and to really take some time to deeply reflect on my relationship to money. And what I discovered was this mistaken belief that I wasn't good with numbers, because I wasn't good at math especially algebra and geometry were not my thing. I just made this assumption that I wasn't good at numbers. And the truth is that money math and the math we do in our business, it's really based on simple addition, subtraction, maybe a little division and multiplication. But for the most part, understanding some few simple numbers can have a dramatic impact on the profitability of your business. And it can be really complicated for creative entrepreneurs to make that leap that, hey, I'm okay with numbers, or to make the leap that, wow, I'm really struggling with this and I need some help with this particular piece. I need to hire a bookkeeper. I need to work with a CPA. I need somebody to help keep me on track. I'm a big fan of outsourcing the financial aspects of my business and not having to pay attention to a lot of the detail of keeping track of some of the numbers. But at the end of the day, it's still your business responsibility, my responsibility, to understand exactly what's happening in terms of the cash flow of your business. And so one of the things I want to share with you today is a really awesome assessment tool. Tanya knows this about me. I absolutely love assessments. I'm an assessment junkie in some ways, but I became certified to offer the Sacred Money Archetype Assessment about this time last year. And I've been using this tool over and over with my clients so successfully. This tool will illuminate the aspects of your relationship with money where you have a lot of strength, where you're really great with money, and maybe some of those places where you have some challenges that may be keeping you stuck. So when we talk about having some big financial breakthroughs in our business and really feeling, you know, that we really have this goal that we want to, maybe you want to break through to your first 25,000, first 50, first 100, first 250. You know, there's all these different levels of plateaus. And it just, like I said at the beginning, I'm on this mission to help women bust through some of these myths and beliefs we have around our relationship with money. And that relationship can stem from the family that you grew up in, with the beliefs that you were raised with about money, from the way that you've reacted to, interacted with, and treated money over a lifetime. So all this personal aspects of your relationship with money may be having a much more serious impact on your business than you ever thought possible. So I want to offer you this free assessment today. There's no risk. There's no cost. You can go to my website. It's Minette Riordan, and I'll spell that for you, MinetteRior, D as in dog, A-N as in Nancy, .com, MinetteRiordan.com/money. And you'll be able to register to take the Sacred Money Archetype Assessment, as well as get a sample set of the beautiful cards that come with the assessment. So you can start really honing in on what's happening in your relationship with money and discover if this is one of the places where you really need to do some deep work on what's happening in your business. And again, I'm Dr. Minette Riordan. You can find me at MinetteRiordan.com. As I mentioned earlier, I just published a best-selling new book. It actually became a bestseller within the first couple of hours, which is pretty exciting. Available on Amazon.com, called The Artful Marketer, The Fundamental Business Guide for Creative Entrepreneurs. And take the free Sacred Money Archetype Assessment at MinetteRiordan.com/money so that you can be stop being, I guess I would say, one of those statistics. I'd really like to see that 6% grow quickly, and let's see how many women we can't encourage, motivate, and teach the skills to, so that it becomes easy for any woman business owner, any business owner, in fact, to have that six-figure breakthrough. Because I really believe that the more income that we generate, that income flows out into the world in so many amazing ways. It creates freedom and flexibility for ourselves and our families. But then we grow these businesses, we start hiring other people and outsourcing, so that it improves the economy from the inside out. So I think that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate to help women stop struggling in their businesses and start succeeding, so that we can have a bigger impact on what's happening in the world and continue to grow and be successful. And again, thank you so much for your time today. I'm Dr. Minette Riordan, and it was, as always, Tanya, such a pleasure to be part of the Change the World Telesummit series.